Will.
I want to talk about something that we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time there. But I want to speak about the word supper time. The supper time. It's supper time. You know, we can be out here working. We can go out here doing what we can do during the day and everything. But when we get home, we're always expecting something there on the table, something that has been provided for us to where we can sit down as a family and where we can eat the fine food that God has given us. And that's the same thing that's going to happen when we all get to heaven, the ones that are saved. When we get to heaven and when we sit down at the table, we have it on supper time. We're going to be sitting there with family. We're going to be sitting there with some loved ones. But the main one that we're going to see is Jesus Christ. And you know, we're not going to have to feed each other. We're not going to have to feed the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who's going to be feeding us. And the reason he's going to be feeding us, and he's going to be thanking us for what we've done for him after he left this earth and went back to heaven. He's going to thank us for the greatest meal that we've ever have sat down to. And it's going to be a glorious time. Because see, that's not going to be the last meal we have. I think we can always be able to think about having supper time. Because you know, I can't go a week if I sitting down and eating a bite, which you can tell that. But I couldn't go a week. I couldn't say, well, I'm gonna sit down at the table on a Monday. And then for that rest of that week, I'm not gonna sit down at the table anymore. I'm not gonna sit down at the breakfast table, I'm not gonna sit down at the lunch table. I'm not going to sit down at a supper table. But see, that's here. And yes, and we can miss a meal, but when we miss a meal even here, we'll realize that we have missed something. But just think about this, though. Think about all the people lie here that we've talked to, that we've called, that we went to and we visited. Look at what they're going to miss. There's not going to be no heartache or anything there. Everything's going to be perfect. Everything's going to be perfect. Here in Luke chapter 17, Luke right here, he talks about this supper time. But it says up here in verse 12, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourself unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were clean. And of one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice, glorifying God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. You know, back then, the Jews, they didn't have anything at all to do with the Samaritans. Why? Because the Jews thought, really basically, I believe that they thought the Samaritans at that time, that they was unclean. But we know that about the individual that was walking down a highway, walking down the road, and one passed by this man. One passed by, he was probably laid in a ditch, probably stumbled and fell, maybe broke his leg, I don't know. But he ended up probably in a ditch. There was a religious man. He was a priest. And he came by. And he walked by. He didn't even speak to him. He did not even acknowledge him. But a Samaritan walked by and seen him. And he went down where he was at. And he picked him up. And he got him up to where he could walk. No doubt the Samaritan probably even had to help him to where he was going. Because, you know, he probably may have broke his leg or twisted his ankle. I don't know. But he could not stand by himself. So the Samaritan probably took his arm and wrapped it around the man, and the man put his other arm on the Samaritan's shoulder. That's what Jesus done for me. That's what he done for me. But see, Jesus was a Jew. But he done that for me. And that right there is a sign that not just the Gentiles can be saved, but the Jewish people can be saved also. Because see, I'm so glad that when the Jews rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, when they rejected him and said that he wasn't the Messiah, and said that they did not believe in what he was doing, Jesus probably said, okay, that's okay. If you don't believe, that's fine. But I got some other individuals that will believe. And that's the Gentiles. I'm so glad that he stepped out and he claimed the Gentile people. And he spoke to the Gentiles. He spoke to this Gentile. And he spoke to the Gentiles that's sitting here tonight. He spoke to us. Why? Because he wanted to do something special for us. He wanted to give us a way out. He did not want us to go to hell. People said, I don't understand why you even mention the word hell anymore. Says you need to be talking about God's love. You need to be talking about more of that. You need to be talking about more about going to heaven. Well, Jesus Christ, he spoke about hell more than he did anything else. I mean, he even wrote
even had chapters pinned down for people that was going to hell. But he also gave them an opportunity, a way out.
Supper time. It is supper time. I tell you, supper time is coming. And it ain't gonna be long. It ain't gonna be long. Who's gonna be invited to that supper time? If you're here tonight, you're saved. You're invited. You're invited if you're saved. The people that are not saved, they're not invited until they get saved, until they believe in what Jesus Christ done at Calvary for them. He extends his arm of love. And that's what he was doing there at Calvary that day. When they took and they laid him on that cross. And when they took that cross and they lifted it up. And then they took it. And they just didn't take it and slide the cross
down into the hole.
No, they put the cross. They had it over the hole. And they dropped it. And when they dropped it, when they dropped the cross in that hole that day, what happened? There was a jerk. There was a jerk on his body that day. But when he was there at Calvary, he was hanging between heaven and earth. He was hanging between heaven and hell. Why? Because he was following the Lord's plan. All the way down, he followed the Lord's plan, God's plan, like God intended for him to follow. He did not sidestep it. He did not claim anything that he ever done. And he ever says, y'all coming, glorify me. It was always to trust in the Father. It was the great I am. The great I am is the Father. But the I am is the Lord Jesus Christ. And when he was hanging on the cross that day, he had his arm extended out. And you know what that represents? His love. That he was extending it out for the whole world just to come in. And where he could just wrap his arms around everybody. He could wrap his arms around everybody. And they could experience the kind of love that he had. Because his love did not just extend just a little ways. His love had an extension to it. And it went all the way. It opened through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's what love done. Love was open there that day at Calvary. Oh me. My prayer is that I'm praying that what I do, that God the Father is pleased with it. If he's not pleased with it, I beg of him to come down and to speak to my heart the way I can get my life straight if it's not pleasing to him. If this church ever want to do anything, we have got to extend our heart and we got to extend our love to the people that's outside of these doors. And as they come in, we got to extend the love to them. We cannot do it any other way. It has to be God's way. And if we get in the way, and if we do it our way, we're going to fail. We're going to fail, and we're going to disappoint God. And any time that I disappoint God, and any time you disappoint God, what does he do? He weeps. He weeps. He wails. Great big drops come from his eyes. The tears that come down. And each tear that he sheds has a name on it. Just like the rain I hear, every time there's a drop of rain, it comes down, it falls. That represents God's tears. What he's doing, he's showering us. What, with his blessing, he's letting us know that he cares for us. If you don't think God cares for you, the next time it showers like that, the next time it rains like that, then you just need to say, well, hey, it ain't raining. It ain't raining. It's just somebody up there, a bunch of birds that went by. It ain't raining. Represents God's tears. And his love is there also. Glory to God. I'm so glad. I am so glad that he has that many tears. I'm sure glad he shed some tears for me. And I need to shed some tears too. I need to shed tears for the lost. I need to share some tears for the people that's done got out of church, got away from God, and says they're Christian. And you can know if they're Christian or not, because they one time come to the altar and they got saved that there was in a church that was lifting up God, because of the fact now that we're living among people today, people are allowing other people to rob them of all of God's blessings. How is God robbing them of our blessings? Preacher, I come to church. You know, I come to church Sunday morning. And bless Pat, when I come to church, I really thought the people kind of cared for me. But preacher, didn't nobody come up and shake my hand? Didn't nobody ask me what kind of week I had? And then I leave church. I say, I ain't going back down anymore. Because that bunch of hypocrites, they come in, and yes, they're singing, oh, how I love Jesus. They're singing victory in Jesus. They're singing about the cross. They're singing about everything else. They cannot sing about the love that they have toward other people. Hey, what am I going to do? I said, well, Sunday afternoon to come up. Time for church to come.
And I said to myself, I says, it's not worth me going back. Because these people's not going to speak to me tonight. It's not worth me going back tonight. Did God do anything to me? No. God hasn't done anything to me. The only thing God has done is God has blessed me. That's the only thing God's done is bless me each and every time I come through these doors. But yet, because of some people or somebody in church said something about me or about my wife, and I said, well, I don't have to put up with that. Then I'll leave that church. I won't come back that night. I won't come back Wednesday night. And the next Sunday, I'll go into another church and visit. I'll go into that church and I'll visit. And yes, the first time you go, yeah, everybody shakes your hand. Tell you how much they appreciate you coming. But it's going to be the same old thing over and over again. So why do I need to go back? You know why I need to go back? You know why I need to go back? Because I'm going to heaven. Because He saved my soul. Because He's the only one is going to speak to me in a way the where nobody else can. He's going to say, son, I love you just like you are. You don't have to change. I love you just like you are. And I'm so thankful that He does. That He loves me just for being me. We don't have to change. We can't change. I can't change my lifestyle. But God can change it for me. Because God can give me something else to do. To take up what I was doing. And then after I do what He wants me to do there for a while, then what I've been doing before has no meaning to me at all. Has no meaning to me at all. I'm not there anymore. I don't want to do that. But people today, they allow somebody in the church to get them away from God and get them away from the fellowship of God. We can't do that. If we do that, then we're just as guilty as they are. And we're just as guilty as the devil is. You know, there's a whole lot of things we blame on the devil. The devil's nowhere around. Could we say, well, Father, will you please help me that I can be faithful to church. Father, Satan, he wants to do everything he can to get me out of church. We don't have to pray for that. We know what God's Word says, to be faithful. The key word there is faith. Being faithful to who? To God. Not to the devil. Because I can take it. I can straddle this rail right here. And if I straddle the rail, 99.9% of me is looking toward the devil. Why? Because I'm straddling the fence. I don't need to straddle no fence. I don't need to straddle a fence. Why? Because God's going to look after me. God's going to take care of me. And God's going to call me home one day. And when He does call me home,
Then he's going to call everybody home one day. When he calls us all home, hallelujah, then we're going to be able to sit down at the supper time. And we're going to be able to sit there and the Lord Jesus Christ, he's going to be our waiter. He's going to serve each one of us. He's going to serve us. You say, well, I can't believe that. I can't believe that. He says, Jesus is one individual. How's Jesus going to serve all the multitude of people that's going to be sitting at the table? You have to take it up with him because he can do it. Why can God be here in this service, being a service in South Boston? How can it be? You have to take it up with God. That's God. God is everywhere. God is all-knowing. He knows it all. Not only the invitation, the way we accepted the invitation, but we're going to be properly clothed. And we're going to also be with family. Who's my family going to be when I get there? The same family that I have right here tonight. We may not be blood kin. And I may not have your family blood running through these veins. But we all, if you're saved, we've each and every one of us has had a transfusion. And we have a little of the Lord's DNA in us. Why? Yes, he was a Jew, but we got Jewish blood running through our body. It may not be completely. I don't know how many quarts or how many gallons or whatever. How much we got in the body. But it doesn't make no difference. If I got 1 ounce of his blood in my body, I'm considered a Jew. And I thank God that he chose me. That he came and he chose me before the foundation of this world. That he knew one day that I'd be saved. I'm so thankful for that. For the family. How we become his family. Through the new birth. Through the new birth. You know, a church, and I hear this all the time. People tell me, say, well, you ought to come over and maybe visit with us some one night when y'all ain't having church. And says, because we're really growing. We're really growing. We're having people come in all the time. And then you end up joining the church. But I don't never hear anything about them saying that any of them ever got saved. It's just a transfer of membership. And I understand that. I understand that people want to be serving God somewhere, and they want to be where God is there in the midst. God's not in the midst in a whole lot of churches anymore. They done locked the door on him.
And they wouldn't even let him come in. Just like what he, that's just like over in Revelation chapter 3. In the latter, the latter part of that verse, chapter there. He says, I stand at the door and knock. He said, I want to come in and sup with you. What he's saying is, I'm standing outside your heart's door. I'm standing outside the church door. I just want to come in. I just want to come in and have a little one-on-one fellowship with y'all. A whole lot of people, they looked at that one verse and they used that as a verse of salvation. That's not what it's talking about. That verse is speaking to the church. That verse is speaking to me. That verse is speaking to you. So if we ain't spoken to God lately, if we ain't talked to God lately, God is saying, I want to come in. And I just want to have a little talk with you. I just want to have a little conversation with you. We don't have to get down to really discussing anything immaterial or whatever. Get deep in anything. I just want to have a little conversation with you. I just want to be able to tell you how much I care for you. I love it when God speaks to me. I really do. Because see, he don't have to. He don't have to speak to me. He don't have to talk to me at all. But he does. He does. He speaks to us all.
Galatians chapter 3 and verse 26 says this, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Tonight, we've been here tonight, and I don't want to put something in your mouth. I don't want you to say anything just to be said because I said it. But I'm going to say it about me, myself, tonight. I'm so thankful that I could come here tonight and have the sweet, sweet fellowship. God the Father. And when I had the sweet fellowship with God the Father, then I know that I can have a sweet fellowship with you. Same way with God. God wants to have a sweet fellowship with each and every one of us. I thank God for that. I thank God for just being there for us. I could not make it one day without him. I could not even walk without him. I could not even speak without him. And I surely could not have what faith that I have in him if it wasn't for him and his faith that he's put in me. Yes, he's put faith in us. He's put faith in each one of us that we'll go out and we'll win somebody else for him. Why? Because he deserves it. He don't want nobody to die and go to hell. And we need to get that settled in our heart. Are we willing for anybody to die and go to hell? Are we? We shouldn't. We should not settle on just that. We should settle on that we're going to do what we can to give the gospel to them. And if they get saved, we need to pray that they'll be one of God's faithful and chosen servants for Him. And when we see that happen, it makes us stronger. It makes us more willingly to do what He is so easily has saved us for. We're going to sing now, Amazing Grace. Because it is amazing. And it's God's grace that we're even here tonight. So, I don't know, but I just feel like it's appropriate tonight just to sing Amazing Grace. How sweet to say. And I'm not going to be like Mark Lowry. And Mark Lowry said, won't you just shut up and go on and sing it? Or are you going to want to quote it? I don't want to hear it both ways. But no. I tell you what, let everybody stand just sing Amazing Grace. Hallelujah. Amazing Grace.